Hi, I'm Kim Cotola. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. There are many more podcasts available online at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us on Cradle My Heart Radio, where our mission is preventing abortion and helping those it has hurt. One of the ways that we say this is that we're also saving lives and healing hearts after abortion. And the way that we do that is to take a look at our stories. Stories don't prove the truth. The truth is the truth. But wow, stories have a great way of illustrating things that the truth sometimes can't even reveal to our hearts. And so I love being a storyteller in this ministry. I love being involved in that aspect of pro-life work. There are many who are doing much more difficult work, whether it would be in the pregnancy resource centers or toiling it in the tedium of working through line-by-line legislation to protect the lives of the unborn. But storytellers have also a special place in the movement and in my heart. And I am so pleased to be able to introduce you to a wonderful storyteller whose work you already know. If you saw the film The Encounter, you know that Bruce Marciano is an actor, author, speaker. He's best known for his impassioned actor's portrayal of Jesus in the film The Gospel of Matthew. He has many, many other acting credits, including Murder, She Wrote, Columbo, Days of Our Lives, and so on. We can get into some of those, and that would be a real fun trip down memory lane. But today we want to talk with Bruce Marciano about a new project called Allison's Choice. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio, Bruce.
No, thank you very much, Kim. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you.
So, in Allison's Choice, this is a film that you've made that depicts one of these stories that brings the truth to life. Give us the plot outline of Allison's Choice.
Well, you mentioned the film The Encounter. If your audience members are familiar with The Encounter, if I can put it this way, it's the encounter in a women's clinic where abortions are performed. As the story goes, a young woman is struggling with her pregnancy, and she decides on abortion, and there in the clinic, she meets a, quote, gentle-faced janitor, end quote, who proves himself to be the living God manifest, and he has 90 minutes to save her baby's life.
Oh my goodness! It's like, yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but I was completely intrigued because it's the same premise in The Encounter. You show up. I think it was at a diner. I can't remember exactly the. The story, all the plot details, but I will never forget your portrayal of the way that Jesus, through his Holy Spirit and sometimes through people, through various means, how he breaks into our everyday lives at the point of our need. And so the creativity that goes into this is very intriguing to me. And I wonder where the inspiration came from for Allison's Choice.
It's interesting. I've been an actor since 1984, and, you know, I was born again in 1989, and I started doing Christian movies almost immediately. My first one was in 1992. So I would sit on film set after film set, and I would just think to myself, if ever I was in the producer position, in other words, if ever I was the one to originate a story, it would be this story. And I can't point to an experience that inspired it or anything. I'm just going to say it was the Lord, because I carried the vision probably for 15, 20 years almost. And it would be this story of Jesus reaching out to a young woman caught in an unwanted pregnancy and pouring out his heart to her, sharing his heart, not only for her baby, but for her, the message being, I love you so much, and I love your baby too. So it's a story that's been in my heart for a long, long time, and I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to finally bring it to the screen.
I want to give you the opportunity, Bruce, to connect some dots for us, because in your other work that I'm familiar with, I haven't seen all of your films, but I've certainly seen The Gospel of Matthew and I've seen The Encounter. And these films have a very strong evangelistic message. In other words, it is the gospel that you are portraying in these people who are having these interactions that, wait a minute, what's really going on? And who is this person who's bringing this message? And there are still some, many even in Christian denominations, that are officially against abortion. In other words, they understand that it's the taking of a human life because life begins at conception. I'll give you the chance to speak to that and how the two come together in Allison's Choice, in this latest project that you've got going.
You know, Kim, I've experienced the same thing. I actually was quite surprised by this that you just described. You know, I think of Jesus in the Gospel of John, and I wasn't there 2,000 years ago, but I can imagine the moment when he looks the people in the eyes and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the life. He's the author of life. He is all about life. So this issue, and it's not an issue, it's people, it's babies, it's moms, and I mean it's such a human thing. It's not an issue. It's people. You know, it's heart. It is just so obvious that he's all about that baby's life. There's a moment in Allison's Choice, it's kind of interesting, where Jesus, in quotes, weeps over the taking of baby's lives. He just openly weeps. And I remember when we did that scene, you know, I played the Jesus character in it, and I just broke, and I wept, and I wept. And we cut the scene, and the cameraman, he said to me, you know, that might have been a little too much. And I thought, wow, people don't get it. People don't get it. He weeps his brokenness over these precious babies' lives.
Bruce Marciano is our guest, and he's an actor, author, speaker. I think your first book, Bruce, am I right, was it Jesus, the Man Who Loved Women?
That was actually my latest book. My first book was In the Footsteps of Jesus. My latest book is Jesus, the Man Who Loved Women. It's an exploration of his heart specifically for women based on his encounters 2,000 years ago.
I love that. And that was the basis for my book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion. Who are these women? They're our sisters spiritually. And when we read the Gospels, for me, it's like going through a family album, right? I know that woman at the well. I know the woman who had the issue of blood. And to bring their stories to life is one of the most exciting things that we can do. And I want to give you the chance to talk about that book a little bit today, too, as we go along here. But I wonder if your methodology in these films was also traced back to, no pun intended, reading and writing about, researching and writing about what happened in the footsteps of Jesus. Because I know when I traveled to Israel, that was a huge part of the inspiration for me, that these aren't just stories. This is our history. This is our family history. Talk about that first work of yours, In the Footsteps of Jesus.
Well, the first film that I played Jesus was The Gospel of Matthew. And to make a long story short, it was a revelation. It was a revelation of him, of his heart for these precious people. And right there was a bit of a revelation. You know, we tend to think of the people Jesus encountered 2,000 years ago as, objects in a painting or something. We lose sight of the fact that these were just people like you and like me, people going through struggles, people with questions and doubts and fears and hopes. And here in the middle of them stands the Son of the Living God speaking, I'll use that word again, life into every one of those broken places, reaching out to them with his love. And so I think of the scripture, Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, by his spirit, he's doing the same thing in your life and mine and every one of your listeners' lives these 2,000 years later today.
Bruce Marciano, our guest, and he has created a film called Allison's Choice. And let's talk about how and where people can see this, because it's been an interesting journey getting this film finished and then getting it in front of people. Bruce, how can people see this, and what's your vision for it? Where do you want this film to go?
Well, I'll answer that question in one word: everywhere. people just need to know the love of Jesus and his compassion for these precious moms and dads caught in the middle of this struggle, and his heartbreak over the loss of these precious, precious babies, and his hope for everyone who's been through it and going through it. One of the neatest things of this whole experience is, since the movie's been released, you know, just receiving many emails from moms and a few dads that, you know, went through this. And it's usually, you know, 30 years ago I did this, and there's not a night I don't cry myself to sleep. And the Lord just freed me from all that guilt and shame in watching this movie. So that's been one of the beautiful testimonies that's come out of the movie. And I'm sure you know, Tim, you receive one of those testimonies, and it's like everyone needs to hear this message. He loves you. He's got a future for you. He's got hope. There's nothing he can't repair. So my hope for the film is that it just gets into every home, everywhere it can. My approach is different. This isn't a commercial production company. We're a nonprofit organization. So my approach with the movie is very, very ministry. We went through the typical channels of looking for distributors. First of all, very few people, even within the Christian film world, and this is very heartbreaking, they didn't want to touch a movie about this subject, and that's for commercial reasons. And to make a long story short, we just decided, look, let's just release this ourselves and trust the Lord to inspire word of mouth and spread it across the country and the world. So it's available on DVD at allisonschoice.com. It's also available on Amazon and christiancinema.com, a couple other of the typical outlets. It's available pay-per-view on vimeo.com. It's getting select theater releases all across America. You know, last week it showed at AMC in your hometown, Minneapolis, to a sold-out crowd. I was really excited about that. Week before, Mesa, Arizona, coming up at the end of the month, Westchester, Pennsylvania. So it's available through all these outlets, but probably the safest, quickest place is allisonschoice.com.
Bruce Marciano is producer and director of the film. Tell me about the research for this, because in the storyline, and I haven't seen the film yet, but I've read the press materials. In the storyline, we have Allison, who has evidently a deadbeat boyfriend. And then the other characters here are a very flamboyant counselor. We have a suburban mom. There's a receptionist at the office where she's going for the procedure, an inner city counterpart. And as you say, the mysterious janitor. In researching this, How did you, what are each of these characters standing for, and how typical really is this portrayal of what someone like Allison would go through when seeking an abortion?
Yeah. One of the neatest reactions I've gotten to the film is from pregnancy-centered directors and workers and such, and across the board, they say it's a very accurate representation of what they run into in their counseling sessions in terms of Allison's arguments and fears, et cetera. So I'm very, very thankful for that. You know, I spoke to pregnancy center directors. I also did just the basic statistical research, looking for the different demographics with regard to abortion and such. And what I did was I created characters around those demographics. For example, one of the largest groups of people who are involved in abortions, inner city African American women, as tragic as that is. And so one of the key characters is an inner city African American woman. I needed to create characters that those demographics, if I can put it that way, women living in those demographics can relate to. And so there's Lucretia, the inner city African American woman. Allison herself, I think she's representative of millions and millions of young girls. So head over heels in love with the absolutely wrong guy who's just all about himself, and his solution to every problem is just make it go away. I received a flood of emails from young women saying, wow, this movie opened my eyes to my own relationship and gave me the strength to get out of it. So the characters are built around people that people would identify with, see themselves in, and see the love of God for them, themselves. Through these characters.
Does the deadbeat boyfriend find redemption before the film ends? Please say yes. Because this is such an issue.
You're asking me to give the ending of the movie away.
that's good. That's good, actually.
Let's just say this. Allison finds the strength. Because one of the reasons she is so insistent on having her abortion, and she argues this with the Jesus character, is because she'll lose her boyfriend if she doesn't. And by the end of the movie, let's just say she finds the strength to cut him loose as he should be.
Well, and you know, I appreciate you sharing that with us, because we know how the story ends. I mean, I had an abortion at 23. And I was not necessarily trying to protect the relationship, because his immediate response was, make this go away. And I immediately knew he wasn't the person I thought he was. And so, you know, praise God, he has found his redemption. And the way that God ordained for me to know that was really dear. It's a separate story for a different day. But if young people seeing this, young men and young women, can be inspired to something higher, then that's a really good outcome. And I thank God that he's patient with us, and he's patient with the men who press for abortion, and patient with the women who go through with it, and also patient in the parents who raise the children resulting from these unions, whether it would be the woman herself or adoptive families. You know, God can redeem it all. And I'm so grateful that you're telling that story, Bruce. Bruce Marciano is our guest. He's the producer and director of Allison's Choice, but you know him from many other projects. The Gospel of Matthew, Road to Emmaus, Acts of the Apostles, Legend of the Candy Cane, Out of Jerusalem, Faith Happens, The Encounter, so many great films, and he's written a number of books as well. And to me, this is such a, it's an indictment of the Christians who told you that there was no market for a story like this. And I don't want to call anybody out individually, but I just want to say that we know better. We know that there are people, as you put it, Bruce, there are people impacted by this issue, who are impacted by this problem, this reality, and people who need a message of hope that a film like this brings, and including those who made that choice and who have to live with the earthly consequence. Thank God we have our forgiveness in Christ. He died while we were yet sinning. He died for us. And anybody listening who's not yet grasped that, please get in touch with us. We'll walk you through that. We'll walk it with you until it becomes real in your heart. But Bruce, I applaud you going forward with it, even when a lot of doors were closed to you. I think that that's a testimony to your faith and to your heart for the people who need the message.
Well, I appreciate that, Kim. You know, you're going to laugh when I say this, hopefully. People have often asked me on interviews, you know, what's your greatest asset in terms of the Lord using you? And my answer, and I've given this answer for 20 years, it's definitely my ignorance. You know, it's like not knowing so much going in. You just keep going. And that was a little bit of the case here. I was taken by surprise by so many Christian film distributors that said, no, I don't want to have anything to do with a movie about this topic. I was taken by surprise, and I'm sure you've run into this, Kim, and by so many pastors and leaders saying, well, that's not a problem in my congregation. There's no women who've been through this in my congregation. There's no reason for me to screen this movie for my people or support an event, a screening event in my. And I was just so taken by surprise, because I'm sure you get more emails than I do from these precious, precious women who have been keeping this to themselves, and they're sitting in the pews year after year, decade after decade. So my ignorance of all that, I guess, just paved the way for me to march forward and do what I believe the Lord asked me to do in Allison's Choice.
Well, and I thank you for depicting that in a gracious way, because I too was very ignorant when I was called to speak the truth about abortion just by sharing my story. But I had a platform in General Market Radio at the time, and we started a healing conference for women who had had abortions, and we had the idea to go to local Christian colleges and see if they would sponsor a conference of that kind, because we got approval from the state of Minnesota for ongoing educational credits for licensed mental health professionals. That was a miracle. And but I had a Christian college president say the same thing to me, Bruce, that's not an issue on our campus. And I didn't know enough then even to say, sir, with all due respect, you're mistaken. 78% of women who choose abortion will say that they are Christian, that they are nominally at least Christian. And if, you know, that was back in 2003, and I'm really sad to hear that denial is still happening in the minds of pastors and in the minds of Christian leaders. And I'm sure I join my heart with yours, Bruce, in praying that God would break through that ignorance and denial. What's going to happen with Allison's Choice? Say a little bit more in about 2 minutes remaining about the heart that our Lord has for women.
He loves you. He just loves you. No matter mistakes, no matter failures and confusion and this I believe, with tears streaking down his face. And he said, come to me. You're weary. You're burdened in your heart. You just come to me, and I'll give you rest for your soul. He just loves you, most precious, precious woman.
Bruce Marciano, we are out of time. I could talk with you all day, but I will lead people to your resources, which are linked at cradlemyheart.org for Allison's Choice and your other films, as well as the many books that you've written. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
It's an absolute honor to be with you, Kim. Thank you.
And now stay with us. Coming up on Faith Radio, we'll open the phones and listen to your story. 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing's done. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We are here live at Faith Radio, and our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. Kim Cotola welcoming you to Cradle My Heart Radio. And if you enjoyed our conversation with Bruce Marciano, we have a special gift for you tonight. We have the chance for you to win a copy of Allison's Choice, the DVD that we discussed with the story of Allison, who is still trying to decide what to do even as she awaits her appointment at an abortion facility. And it's a very true-to-life drama. We posted the trailer for the film on our blog at cradlemyheart.org, and I heard from lots of folks who said, you know, it's tough to watch because it's so true-to-life to what we have experienced as women. And even I think I haven't heard from men, but I'm sure that there are many men for whom the film will resonate as well. So let's open up the phones and give you the chance to win a copy. We have several, and if we need to, we'll put names into a drawing. 1-800-811-3003. What I would like to know from you is whether or not you consider yourself pro-life, and if you do, if you dislike that label. I'm hearing a lot about refashioning, rebranding, reimagining the pro-life movement, and I'm hearing that a lot of young people absolutely believe in everything that it stands for, and they just as intensely dislike that name, pro-life. How do you feel about it? 1-800-811-3003. I did not call myself pro-life for a long time, and I wasn't really identified with the pro-life movement. I was drawn into really helping women and men affected by abortion to feel redeemed and to know the reality of redemption in Jesus Christ, not just to feel it, but to know the reality of our redemption in Christ. And it took some time before the truth dawned in my heart that the massive scale of death of children is something that needs our voice. They need our voice. And now I am 100% pro-life. For a while, it took me time to understand about the situations concerning the, you know, the circumstances of conception, if there's been a rape or incest, these circumstances tear our hearts apart when we hear stories of women who are pregnant after a crime has been committed of rape or incest. And yet, the children do remain innocent, and it took a long time for me to see that and to know that offering compassionate care to women needn't involve taking the life of a child, of an innocent child. So I'm comfortable with the handle, with the label being pro-life. I'm comfortable with that, but many are not, and especially younger people. So tell me where you stand on that. Do you not want to be identified with the pro-life movement? Does it have just too many negatives? Do you think about angry people protesting on sidewalks, meddling in other people's lives, just old, you know, middle-aged plus white women, I read, is a group that millennials don't necessarily want to line up to be part of. 1-800-811-3003. I'm laughing because that description fits me better than millennial. 1-800-811-3003. Are you pro-life, and is there a makeover needed with perhaps even a new name for the movement? We have as a gift for those who call and join us on the broadcast tonight a copy of Allison's Choice, the DVD from Bruce Marciano, who is a Christian filmmaker and actor. And in Hollywood, he's gotten some great projects that Hollywood has gotten behind, but sadly not his pro-life film, Allison's Choice. That's interesting, isn't it? Is pro-life poison in terms of a marketing proposition? 1-800-811-3003. And, you know, maybe tell me what you think about this, because maybe it really doesn't matter in the end. What matters is what's in our hearts and what we do as a result of that, what action that we would take to protect the lives of the unborn and to help their mothers. You know, a number of years ago, the Associated Press made the decision to drop the labels pro-life and pro-choice. And I think they label the pro-life position anti-abortion, and they may say pro-abortion rights instead of pro-choice or abortion rights advocate. I am against abortion, so I don't necessarily object to that. But there's a subtlety in there that, oh, Christians, they're just against stuff. I'm not sure that that's the way that the answer needs to go either. Tell me what you think, and we have for you a copy of Allison's Choice, the DVD. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. You know, I wish that there were a way to convey the compassion embedded in our movement with a label. I wish that there were a way that we could impart that with a handy handle. Because really, the deeper and deeper I go into this journey, and the more people that I encounter, the more that I see the love and compassion of Jesus Christ modeled in individuals, and the helping hand that's being extended through the pregnancy care movement, the pregnancy help movement, and the care for women that's evidenced even at the level of policy. It's such a misconception that anybody who is engaged in, you know, pro-life advocacy or volunteering or work would be considered anti-woman or not compassionate. That's such a misconception. So are you pro-life but don't want to call yourself that? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. It's 1-800-811-3003. And as our gift to you through the generosity of Bruce Marciano and Marciano Ministries, his production company, we have copies of Allison's Choice on DVD. All right, let's go to the phones and welcome Phil, who's listening in Sioux Falls. Hi, Phil. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Good evening, madam. Good to be speaking with you. Yes, I had visited with your screener there about the instead of having it with the as with pro-life, that we should we are pro-life, but what we're looking at is giving pro-chance, giving the child a chance. You know, if Christ gave us a chance when we were given birth, that we would take our choices, and those choices are determined by our mind. And when we take that choice away from the child that's being aborted, it has no chance. So I would wish to name it our pro-chance, that we would give the child the chance to live and to be in the actions of Christ, that he would or she would grow in the way that Christ would want that child to grow.
I like that. I like that a lot, Phil. And I think that might be a starter. That's the first time I've heard that proposed. And it makes me wonder about your path to the position that you hold today. I mean, have you always known this? Has it been something that you understood because you heard the message preached in church? How did you become pro-life?
Well, first of all, I have children that were very hard to deliver. I was there at present to see them delivered. Secondly, my grandchildren were actually had to be test tubed to be delivered, that they would actually be existence in this world, and for the doctors to support that and to bring on the hormones that would produce that. It gets very technical, and it needs to be looked at and reasoned that is a wonderful life there, that we need to procure that life until the grave, until our Lord takes us back to himself. We must remember that Christ was the creator. He has always lived, and he has always will live, and he designed women. He knows women better than anyone would ever known them, and to walk amongst them, like as you spoke about the woman at the well and the woman with the bleeding issue. And we thank you so much for your program. You're a true blessing. I try to tell it to everyone that I know of, and especially the fair we had this week out here at Turner County, that your program should be not just on our KNWC, but that they would have the strength to put it on the secular networks that would stand with our Lord Jesus Christ to procure the life that he has given and not to destroy it.
Oh, wow, Phil, that's so humbling and such a blessing to have you endorse what we're doing here. I really appreciate that. Stay on the line. We'll get your information so we can send you a copy of Allison's Choice. And from Bruce's lips to God's ear, if we could have a larger platform that would truly, truly fulfill a vision that we had from the very beginning for this program, that everybody who needs to know the love of Jesus Christ in an unintended pregnancy or after an abortion, that everybody who needs to know that would know it and would hear it and would come to believe. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and there are some plans for us to extend the work that we're doing. And if you'll go to cradlemyheart.org, there's a very easy way for you to join us with a financial gift. And I would ask that you would consider that, because your help is needed to get this message into the hands of everyone who needs to hear it. We're so grateful for the support of Faith Radio that makes the program possible, and they join us in wanting to expand it and to take it far beyond. So more of your phone calls coming up. Tonight the question before us is, are you pro-life, and do you object to being called that because you advocate for defending the lives of children before they're born and helping their mothers to make that possible. Tell me about where you stand on it and how you feel about that label, pro-life. 1-800-811-3003. And for our callers tonight, Allison's Choice on DVD from Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
We are here live tonight on Faith Radio, 800-811-3003, our number for you to receive a copy of Allison's Choice, the DVD by Bruce Marciano, that it has a strong pro-life message about a girl who is facing an abortion, and she's at the abortion facility when one of the characters in the story begins to speak with her in a way that changes everything. We'd love to get you a copy of it, and we so appreciate Marciano Ministries making it available for us tonight as our gift to you. So the question that we're asking for you to join us with is, are you pro-life, but do you not want to be called that? Is there a branding and messaging problem with the label pro-life? It's something that developed over 40 years ago when Roe v. Wade became the law of the land in a Supreme Court ruling in favor of the life of the child, is where the label came from, in favor of the choice whether or not to give birth is where the pro-choice label came from. Both labels are falling out of favor. And the next generation is largely responsible for driving the change. Where do you stand on it? Are you okay with it? Or should pro-lifers be called something else? 1-800-811-3003. Let's go to David, who's listening in South Dakota. Hi, David. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi there. Yes. You know, when this movement began, it was known as the anti-abortion movement. I think, you know, then we got politically correct and called it pro-life. And it's interesting just how words change over time. I studied some words, and one interesting word that's changed over the years many times is like the word for smell. It started out, you know, stench was a good word at one time. It was a positive word. But then he took on negative connotations, and that was out of vogue. And then they went to smell, and then that, you know, started out high and went down, and then stink. And
oh, sure. I know folks who are offended by someone saying something is so stinking cute, which has gotten a lot of traction lately. You hear that one a lot. So,
Well, now the positive word, you know, is fragrance. But sooner or later, that'll go by the wayside, too.
So what about you, David? Are you pro-life? I mean, do you consider yourself against abortion?
Yeah.
And so, are you just saying, look, let's just say anti-abortion. There's no problem with that. That states it clearly, and let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah. I mean, we're having problems all over the place. I mean, the Republicans can't identify themselves anymore, and evangelicals can't identify themselves anymore. I mean, and so we're going to have to come up with some new terms. It's so bad evangelicals don't know who they are. Larson Spolt says we ought to call ourselves imputationists.
Oh, my. Well, no, seriously, I mean, a couple of years ago, that was really brought home to me, that evangelical is a slur in some corners because it has no connotation about, you know, spirit-led Christian life. It's become a political term, meaning people who are, you know, wanting to impose morality. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that, David. I appreciate it. And stay on the line. We'll get your address so we can get you a copy of Allison's Choice. Let's go next to Karen, who's listening in Oklahoma on our live stream at myfaithradio.com. Hi, Karen. Welcome to Cradle My Heart.
Hi, Kim. Great to talk to you.
Uh-huh. So are you pro-life, and how do you feel about the label?
I am absolutely 100% unapologetically pro-life. Yet, words have such power, and that label of being pro-life, I think, has been distorted, and perhaps through the media in the political realm. We just have an enemy that's going to attach negative things to us. And so I don't know. You know, branding might be good. And when people – I run a clinic in Oklahoma, and we help women who are facing pregnancy decisions. And if someone calls our organization and says, are you pro-life or pro-choice, we just say, you know, we're not political. We're pro-woman, and we want to help women that are facing some difficult decisions. And we're pro-hope. We want to administer hope to people. We want to help people who are in a difficult situation, and we want to promote healing. And so, you know, I do think that that label pro-life has been just distorted by the enemies.
Well, and I think, you know, it's interesting. I saw an article recently that said millennials absolutely do not, they don't want to be called that because there's a stereotype of an angry protester or, you know, a religious zealot. I mean, there are just lots and lots of negative stereotypes attached to the term pro-life. And then you also will hear people say, well, if you're pro-life, you ought to, and then they'll throw the kitchen sink in. You know, you ought to be in favor of all these other programs, and then they'll start talking about, you know, capital punishment and other issues that really don't have anything to do with how to address an unintended pregnancy. And so I think that the messaging needs to have some, you know, we need to in some way distinguish that we're talking about a pregnancy. And so it's interesting that you would talk about hope. Talk about the role that that plays in the work that you do. Say a little bit more about that for us.
Okay. A lot of women, not all of them, but a lot of women who come to us in an unplanned pregnancy, unintended pregnancy, feel like they have lost control in their lives, and some of them feel like, you know, their dreams are at risk or their future's at risk or, you know, their relationships are at risk, and they just feel like that they've lost hope and that they can't make decisions that are going to bring them hope. And so we have women who work in our ministry that have gone through that situation. And we had a woman that was 82 years old. She recently passed away, but she was pregnant when she was a teenager, and she was unmarried. And she was a faithful volunteer. You know, our nurse manager is a faithful volunteer who went through that situation. So they're able to sit next to a woman and share with her that she has not lost her hope, that this is a situation that's difficult, yes, but that we're willing to walk with her and that she makes her choice. There are three options. Basically, you can choose to parent your child, to place your child for adoption, or to have an abortion. And whatever decision she makes, we're going to walk with her, and we're going to love her, and we're going to encourage her to find healing. But once these women decide that they can have hope, it really, really affects their decisions, that they're not alone, that someone will walk with them, that they can have encouragement. I know society says different and some political groups say differently, but I've never had someone walk in our ministry and say, I am so excited about having an abortion. They're in trauma and they're vulnerable and they need a safe place and they need the truth and they need that truth spoken to them with compassion.
Outstanding. Well, Karen, thank you, and stay on the line, and we'll get you a copy of Allison's Choice, the DVD from Bruce Marciano as well. Thank you to all of our callers. I think that it's really important that that we as a movement be unified, first of all, that if someone is doing something objectionable, that we would be responsible, that we would act in a way that exhibits a group conscience that says this is not modeling our values to outsiders. So please, you know, be sure that you are doing that in the way that you say things. You know how to do this. You and I know how to do this. But it's important that we do make sure that we stand together so that the hope that Karen talked about can become a reality in the lives of people who need to know that. So that, as David said, we can, in South Dakota, our caller from South Dakota, so that we can clearly say what we do stand for and without apology. And as Phil mentioned, talk about, you know, we want to give a chance. We want children to have a chance at life. That's a great story for us to be able to tell and for us to be able to say is our purpose, that we're giving people a chance who might not have a chance for life itself. That's inspiring. That's uplifting. That does give hope. It's kind. It's necessary. And it's so honoring to God when we do that and to the people to whom we speak, whether it's the person who's experiencing that unintended pregnancy, whether it's someone who needs to have the message that Jesus Christ is the lifter of our heads after abortion. Everyone needs to know. Thank you so much for being part of the broadcast tonight and for tuning in. We'll be back next week talking more about saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. Remember, Jesus loves you. So do we. Thanks for listening. Your support makes this podcast stream possible. Information is available at myfaithradio.com.